Tough to eat? Yeah. You know, it's been a while since we've had this many guys here. I just have to say, man, it's really good to see all of you come out. I'm glad you guys were able to make it. And, you know, I think it's just a real important thing for you guys to, for all of us, to realize that we need other men in our lives, right? We need those friendships. We need other people to encourage us, to challenge us. We need those connections, right? And so I just want to encourage you guys to be committed to each other. Be committed to your men's ministry. Be committed to the church because, you know, as strong as the men are in the church, it does a lot to strengthen the whole of the church. So, you know, the New Testament talks about the men being pillars in the church. And we need each and every one of you men to be that in your church, to be a pillar in your church. Right? So, well, we've been blessed with some good physical food. You guys ready for some good spiritual food? Well, we're blessed to have a good friend of mine, and I really appreciate Pastor Tom. I always enjoy talking to him. He's just a real down-to-earth guy and just genuine. So I love Pastor Tom, and I'm blessed to know him and to be associated with him. And I'm just glad our churches are as close as they are, and I appreciate Tom's friendship. So let's give a hand to Pastor Tom Shubring.
There, I'm green. I'm live. I appreciate John and Roger. Roger called, I don't know, a month or so ago and asked if I would be willing to share tonight. And I said, sure. And I was driving north at the time, and the Lord just kept impressing upon me, no fear. No fear. No fear. And I'm not afraid of Roger, so I knew that wasn't it. But apparently, you guys need to hear about no fear. And a little over a month ago, I was in Montana, and I was elk hunting with a good friend of mine and with my youngest son. And one of the cool things about elk hunting out there in Montana, my son lives there. He's actually a guide, a professional guide. And this was before he started guiding, so I was guiding for him. I didn't even have a tag. And one of the cool things was we went and we would spend a night or two at a time out in the mountains sleeping under the stars. No tents, no trucks, no campers, just the sleeping bag on the ground, or open the tailgate and right in the back of the truck. And we saw some of the most incredible light shows you could ever imagine. There's no light pollution. One of the areas we hunted in kind of got the old blood curdling a little bit because 2 days before we got there in the very same valley, two guys were mauled by a grizzly bear. And so we didn't change our plans, and we slept out under the stars with the grizzly bears and the elk bugling in the background. And it adds a little bit of an adrenaline rush. I don't know about you guys, but I've always enjoyed whatever I do more if there's a little adrenaline rush. I worked for years up at a camp, and I led wilderness trips, rock climbing, whitewater, kayaking, you name it. And if there's something exciting that'll get your adrenaline going, it just gets me going all the more. And I'm not trying to say I'm super courageous or anything like that. I'm not trying to make it into anything it's not. But my son, as a matter of fact, when he's out there, he's living with these grizzly bears 24/7. And people get mauled every year, multiple maulings by these things. And I wanted to show you a couple of pictures. I just gave these to Jack. These are pictures. That's a grizzly bear eating on a carcass. Now this picture and the next picture, my son, that's a grizzly bear sleeping in the snow, he took these with his cell phone. All right? This last year, he said he saw more grizzlies than he's ever seen. He said one day he saw one grizzly And the rest of the days he saw up to four. And go to the next slide. When he took this picture of that grizzly, he was alone on a meat run, and he had eight mules behind him, loaded with meat, and he was riding 34 miles down the mountain with the meat, and he reached up and snapped a picture of this grizzly bear with his cell phone as it slept. Now, is that courageous or stupid? Well, it is courageous. You're doing your job. You're doing what you're paid to do. Now, kicking that bear would have been stupid. But what brings a man like my son to a point where he can do his job, he can do his calling in a courageous way and not running in fear and going the other way? A couple years ago, he got a call from the outfitter. One of the guys had shot a big bull right at the very crest of a mountain and called Mark, say, bring a couple mules up and let's cut it up. My son's a professional meat cutter by trade during the off season. So Mark goes up there and him and the outfitter are cutting up this bull and it's right on the crest. And the hunter's sitting over there with his rifle leaning up against a tree. And as they're cutting up this bull, a big grizzly came over the ridge. See, a rifle shot out there is a dinner bell. And this bear comes over the ridge, and Mark and the other guy pull out their guns and went like that. Mark carries 10-millimeter pepper spray. And he says, Yogi, Yogi, Yogi! And the bear just kept coming. So the other guy, who was his boss, took aim and shot a rock right in front of the grizzly to try to turn it around. And the bear just kept coming. It walked over 6 steps away, grabbed a hindquarter from that elk, picked it up in its mouth, turned around, and walked back over the mountain. And their shorts were still clean. The hunter was so impressed, he never reached for his rifle. He just sat there with big eyes. He didn't care that he lost part of his elk. He gave Mark a $300 tip just for not shooting it and for keeping his calm through that. See, there's experiences in life. Mark wasn't born that way. Mark had to be trained to be fearless. Every one of us is fearful of something. I guarantee it. The reason we have no fear, you know, that is the most common phrase in the Bible. Do not fear. And I'm not even talking about all the verses that say don't worry or be anxious or anything else. It says do not fear. He gives us the Ten Commandments. We only find it written twice where it's actually written out in all of Scripture. Because no matter how many places we fail in like the Ten Commandments, we still don't fall in all of them. And yet, everyone in this room has fears, rational or irrational. We fear losing our job. We fear losing our spouse. We fear cancer. We fear money issues. We fear something happening to our children. We fear this, that, and the other thing. We're all fearful of something. And yet God repeatedly tells us throughout Scripture 78 times, do not fear. Because that's the thing we have to be reminded of because it's the first thing that comes to mind. Most of us are afraid to share our faith. You know what? Many of us fear death. The only thing that ranks higher then fear of death is fear of public speaking. And I want to put that to the test. I'm going to ask one of you guys to get up here and share about your love life. Just kidding, Jason. Anyway, you know, we fear all kinds of stuff. And to get over our fears, we must be trained not to get those fears. Or if you've been trained and you've had a life experience that gets you afraid of something, it's to reprogram you out of that fear. In 2003, I was bow hunting in northern Wisconsin, and it was not a good day for me. Anything that could have went wrong went wrong. It was a Sunday night. It was like 85 degrees, bugs all over, humid. I went out hunting with a buddy of mine. We were trying a new area with the old-fashioned hand climber tree stands where you hug the tree and you pull yourself up. The kind that a lot of guys don't want to use, right? And I was climbing this popple tree, which was slippery, and yet there were gobs of rough bark, and I kept just ripping my arms up because I would climb up 10 feet and I would slide down 8, and I was making very slow progress. I finally got up there. I'm pulling my bow up, and my bow catches on a limb, and it pops the cable off my compound. There goes my hunt. So I climb back down. I walk over and tell my buddy Tony. I said, Tony, here's the deal, pal. I'm going back to the truck. I'm going to try to fix my bow. If I can fix it, I'll hunt near the truck. I'll see you after dark. I'm not going to screw up your hunt. I went back there and threw a bunch of course. I got a ratchet strap, put it on the two cams, creaked her back, got her all back together. Life is good. A couple of bad things happen. I figure, okay, I got the sights and everything back on. I better try it. Boom, I shoot at a leaf. There's a rock behind. Boom, shatters a $10 arrow. Life is good. Have the radio on. Packers are losing to the Colts 43-17 at halftime. It's not a good day. I am not a Colts fan. I am a Packer fan. So it's like, but the arrow hit its mark. So I went just off of my truck. I mean, I was 200 yards away. I climb up this tree, a nice maple, and I'm in a selective cut. So there's a lot of, like, poles sticking up, and that's where I was. About 30 yards off, an old clear cut. So it's all popples about this big around, thicker than bugs on a bumper. And a doe comes out, and I had a doe tag. It's like, I'm going to whack her. I shoot, and this is opening weekend, and that doe turned around and left before the arrow even got there. It's like, why is that doe so wired? And then about a half hour later, I find out. While I'm sitting in that tree, I hear this down below me in those popples. And then a couple hundred yards away, the whole pack answers. And I got a pack of wolves down below me. And it's like, well, that's why she's a little wired. So I wait until just before dark. I climb down and I go look for my arrow. I can't find it. I go back to the tree. I grab my tree stand, throw it on my back, put on a headlamp, and walk up there so I could get it. I could still see, but I was looking for my arrow. And I'm looking around, and all of a sudden, everything breaks loose, and that pack of wolves came out and surrounded me. And there was a big black one that was about me to Jason away that came and stopped right there. And then there was a gray one here, a gray one here, a black one here, and then the rest were behind me already. There was 11 of them. And it's like, that was where we put that fear thing to test. You know, are we going to be fearful or are we going to be fearless? So I raised my bow above my head and started hollering. I'm, go on, get out of here. Ah! And I'm yelling at them, and I'm just take a stamp at them and then back up a little bit and not sure what to do. And I'm hollering at them, and they just kind of circled around. The big black one just sat there and looked at me. It's kind of cool because in the light, I could see them without the light, but the light made their eyes glow a Halloween orange. Really wicked looking things. And I'm looking at these big dogs. You know, they're about 130 pounds apiece. And I'm looking at them wondering, now what do? I kept hollering. I knocked an arrow. I figured I'd at least take out one. And pretty soon I thought, you know what, call for Tony. So I go, Tony! And he's like, yeah! I said, get over here! And I hear my truck start. And Tony drives right up to me. You know, we're in an old logging area. And he drives right up to me, and the wolves leave and everything. And I said, what were you doing in my truck? And he says, well, he goes, as soon as you left, a pack of wolves showed up. And they were under my tree until just a little while ago. And as soon as they left, I left. And I was sitting in the truck, and I just keep my keys in there. I was like, well, good call, buddy. Well, how this circles back to Mark, first of all, If I would have ran, I would have been toast because I was prey. And I want you to think about that. You know, we're supposed to have a reverent fear of God, and all other fear is from the devil. It's him who's whispering that in our ear. Fear paralyzes us. It prevents us from doing the very things we've been called to do, whether it's sharing our faith, climbing on a roof to take care of it, or doing whatever. We're afraid of so many things, and fear paralyzes us and prevents it. And the reason God hates fear so much and repeatedly tells us not to fear is because we are doing and actually showing that we don't trust him. You know that? When we fear, it's saying we don't trust you. And God doesn't throw huge things right at us in the beginning of our faith. He never throws huge things at us anyway. But as things come, we need to learn and grow from these experiences. Well, my son needed to grow from some of these experiences. See, the very next day, I was back out bow hunting. And my oldest son shot his first buck with a bow, and we were out trailing it. And my youngest son, Mark, the guide, from the time he was this big, he always wanted to be with us in the woods. I mean, he lives and breathes it. And Mark was doing what Mark always did. It was his job, and he was no bigger than Isaac, and his job was to stand there with a flashlight or a little lantern at the last blood while we circle in the woods looking for the next blood. Well, what was clear in his mind was the night before, dear Dad got chased by 11 wolves. So while he stands there in the dark with this lantern and we're making bigger and bigger circles away from him, I hear, "Hey, where you guys at? Don't go so far away. What are you doing?" And I thought it was funny because he was really scared. We're 30 miles from where I had the wolf incident. I wasn't worried about it, but he was. And a few years later, you know, we were out again, and we were deer hunting, and I sent him out. And, you know, the wolves started howling, and they were close. And this happened two nights in a row, and Mark was getting too nervous to even want to hunt. And I told Mark this. I said, "What you shooting there anyway?" And he told me the kind of rifle he had. I said, "You a good shot?" He says, "Yeah." I said, "How many bullets you got?" He said, "I don't know, 8 or 10. And I looked at him and I said, "So what are you afraid of? You got a high-powered rifle and a bunch of bullets and you're a good shot. What are you afraid of?" And he thought for a second. He looked at me and said, "Yeah! Yeah!" And you know what that fear started to do to him? He changed his fear to expectancy, to hopefulness, to see just what would happen. He started hoping to see wolves instead of fearing he would. You know, I'll give you the same advice I gave him. Just make sure you get him behind the last rib so he leaves the property before he dies. You know, us are the same way. We have to look at, when we're coming across a trial or something that causes fear in our life, is to look at it as, how is God going to deliver us from this? And look at it with joyful expectancy. I shared a few weeks ago, we're preaching through Mark, and one of the biggest disappointments Christ must have ever had was on Resurrection Sunday. He had been telling them for 3 years that he was going to die, be buried, and resurrect on the third day. And the people, his followers, his closest friends, should have been filled with this awesome, joyful expectancy of God's answer to prayer and what's going to happen. And what happened? What did he find? A bunch of doubters, a bunch of people filled with fear. The women were all crying. Where was the expectancy? Where was the hope of the promise to be fulfilled? Can you imagine? The greatest day in the history of the world, Jesus Christ raising from the dead, and all he finds is a bunch of doubters and people filled with fear and doubt and crying. And over the years, Mark learned from that experience, and we had so many experiences and teachable moments to grow from being fearful to being fearless. In West Virginia, we were at my in-law's farm one time, and we're walking along looking for deer on the driveway, and they're on a dead-end road up in the mountains, and I saw a bear down below us, and it was a sow with three cubs, and I said, Mark, just stand still. Let's see how close she'll get. And this bear comes trotting up the hill right at us. No clue we were there. And stops a few steps away. She had three cubs behind her. And she sees us on the road. And she looks at us and stands on her hind legs. And she's looking at us, trying to catch our wind. It was perfect. Drops down, turns around, and runs away. And I explained to Mark that bears are nothing but big coons. They're nothing to fear. You know, it was one of the coolest experiences. As we look at these things, and as we grow from trusting God, and this is the thing that always blows my mind, we trust God, we trust Jesus Christ with our eternal salvation, but we won't trust him with our jobs. We trust him with eternity, but we won't trust him with taking care of our spouse or taking care of a cancer or taking care of a need, a financial need, a health need, a vehicle need. We trust him with the biggest thing that is out there, and yet we won't trust him with the little things. You understand why God hates fear so much, and he will tell us, do not fear, 78 times in Scripture. But yet we all have fears. He has equipped us with a lot better than a 30-odd six with a box load of ammunition to take on the wolves in the world. We need to resist the devil. We need to submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. That's what Scripture tells us to do. You know, he has equipped us so much. And believe it or not, he loves us. He loves our loved ones more than we do. We can trust him with it. We can trust him with that. I was in Montana about 10 years ago. I don't remember when. It was about 10 years ago, and it was one of the most miserable hunts I had ever had, days hunting. It was 95 degrees in the high desert of central Montana. And I was sitting over a water hole, and this is the first, only, and last time I will ever do this. I was sitting in a pop-up blind. It was 95 degrees. I was in a pair of shorts and a t-shirt, and 3 hours before dark, I ran out of water, and I was wringing wet. Dehydrated, I was sitting over this water hole, all I saw all day was cattle, and I packed up my backpack, my ground blind, I put it on my back, I was wearing tennis shoes and shorts, and it's dark and I'm hoofing her down a two-track, going across this prairie, you know, going from one packet of woods to another, and I had about a mile and a half walk back to my truck where I'd meet my hunting partners. And I'm walking as fast as I could across this two-track. And I'm looking at the stars, and they're beautiful, and it's moonlit and everything. And I'm walking as fast as I could just to get back to the truck to get some more water. And in mid-stride, I heard this. And big old rattlesnake. And I jumped back. I hit reverse so quick, I thought I was going to drop my transmission. And I mean, I just boom. And my kids have tried for years to scare me. They used to hide in the closet for hours just so they could jump out in the hall and try to get me. And it never worked. I would never even blink or flinch. I'm not a jumpy person. But at that moment, my heart was in my throat. If you've ever heard a rattlesnake, they are incredibly loud. And with no noise out on the prairie that night, it was terrible. And I mean, I jumped back and I was like, and it's like, wow. And then, yeah. See, I had a thought. I had a 5-gallon pail in my hand, and I had a cushioned seat that sits on it. And the last thing Mark asked before I went out west was, the year before I had brought him a horny toad. And this year his request was, Dad, bring me home a rattlesnake. Now, I had a pail with a lid that snaps, a 5-gallon pail. That's what I was sitting on. And all I could think of was, Mark, you know what? If you bring an 11-year-old boy home a pet rattlesnake, you will get the Coolest Dad Ever award. And it crossed my mind because that's what he wanted. And this was a prairie rattler about this long. I had pictures, but they're on my old computer and I can't get them off. And I took some pictures of this thing. And I thought, you know, if I bring this home, Coolest Dad, man, this would be great. He could show it to all the neighborhood kids that I don't like. And, you know, I was thinking about this. And then I thought of my wife. And I will let you know, that was where my fear came in, of bringing a live rattlesnake home to my kid. And instead of bringing a live rattlesnake home, I brought a rattlesnake tail. And it made me think of a verse, you know, in Genesis 3:15, you know, after Satan tempts Adam and mankind into sin and men fall from grace and all of that stuff, and God makes a promise. He says that, you know what, someday from your seed, Satan is going to bruise his heel, but he is going to bruise your head. The seed of man, Jesus Christ, was going to come and bruise Satan's head. A pain in the heel was Jesus on the cross. The death blow happened to Satan, who's the one who whispers all those fears in your ear when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Galatians 3:13 says, He has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty cool. I brought that rattlesnake tail home to my kid. I conquered it. I took the fears, I took the anxiety of that rattlesnake, and I pummeled it. That snake is no more, and neither is the one who is lying and whispering the fears in your ears. Jesus Christ, by our faith in Him, has promised and equipped us better than we could ever imagine. He has given us the full armor of God. Paul described it as a helmet of salvation, if we choose to put it on. A breastplate of righteousness, if we choose to put it on. The belt of truth, if we choose to put it on. Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, if we're not afraid to share it. You know what's really cool? He gave us a shield of faith to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the enemy. Because that's what he has to work with. He has lies. He has all of this nonsense he throws at us, but we have to fall for it and believe it. We can take on the grizzlies. We don't have to live in fear of them. I couldn't imagine living in fear of all the things that people live in fear of. Knowing that we're fighting against a toothless lion. The only thing he has against us is the lies that he tells us. Remember what it says. It's the devil that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Don't blame God for it. God came to give us life and give it to us abundantly. It's John 10:10. You know, we have so much. If you read Romans 8, you know, nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Neither height, nor depth, nor principalities, nor powers, nor any created thing can separate us from the love of Christ. But we listen to the lies of the devil that he's throwing at us. You know, there are so many verses that talk about worry and anxiety, and all they do is waste our time and paralyze us and prevent us from moving forward in what he's called us to do. You know, I would like to, somewhere on here, I have a passage of scripture I'd like to kind of close with. You know, it's this one here, Psalm 91. And we memorized this a few years back. And think of these promises as you think about what you're afraid of or what you're struggling with right now. Psalm 91, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from deadly pestilence. That's disease. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up on their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. Or in the Tom version, on the wolves and the rattlesnakes. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. You believe those promises? Those promises are to us. It's Old Testament, it's Old Covenant, but everything in there is still true for us today. Who are you listening to? Are you listening to the promises of God that nothing can separate us from the love of God the Father? And Jesus Christ the Son? Or are you listening to the lies of the enemy? Jesus took a lot on the cross. He took all of our sicknesses. He took our illnesses. He took our sin, our transgressions. He took it all on the cross to give us abundant life. And just like I just read, if you make the Most High your dwelling, if you will call upon me, I will answer him. The first question is, have you called upon the Lord? Have you made him your Savior? And if you have, if you've asked him to come into your life and name him Lord of your life, are you walking in fear or are you walking in faith? Are you ready to take on the grizzly bears and the cobras? The rattlesnakes, the wolves, whatever. there isn't enough room up here for what I had wanted to do. So I'm going to do this a little differently. But, you know, if you have not received the Lord as your Savior, there is no time like the present. And if you have, everyone in this room is struggling with fears of one way, shape, or form. And I would like to just take the time, and rather than having people come forward, because we all struggle with this, I want you to take the time and confess whatever fear, anxiety, worry that you are struggling with. Take the time to confess it before the Lord now. Confess your sin, because that's what fear is sin. Because you're putting more trust and faith in the devil's ability to harm you than you are in God's ability to protect you. You guys smelling what I'm stepping in? You know, that's what it's about. And this is a daily thing that we can walk. A lot of our fears are simply because we dwell upon them. We think about them. We dwell on them. We're memorizing some scripture right now. Philippians 4, 4 through 8 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice." Are you rejoicing in the Lord? Are you worried? We rejoice in all circumstances. It says the Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, make your requests be made known to God. And the God of peace, and I just blew it. I was commenting too much. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. May your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, make your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is honorable, whatever is of good repute, dwell on these things. Not on the things that we can't control or we're trying to control, but dwell on the positives and look forward to how God is going to deliver you, just like he delivered his son from the grave. Look forward with anxious anticipation and expectancy, not in fear. But when are you going to do it and how are you going to do it? I don't know how you're going to do it, Lord, but it's all yours. Take it. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I want to lift up these men and boys. I thank you for bringing them out today. Lord, I thank you for every one of them. We thank you for your gift of Jesus Christ. A gift that you died for all men. And all we have to do is receive you, make you Lord of our life to be saved. It's simple faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. Father, we confess our sins before you, our sins of fear, all the different anxieties and worries that we have. We give them to you now at this moment. We ask for your blessing to be upon us. Strengthen us, encourage us. Help us to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Anxiously and expectantly looking forward to your deliverance. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the armor of God, giving us the promises that nothing can separate you from us. We thank you. Lord, if there's one who hasn't given their life to you today, we pray that today is the day they do not leave this building without making you Lord of their life. And we ask these things now in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Tom. Let's give him a hand. Good word. Thank you guys for coming. Men of Grace, if we could get your help cleaning up here, that'd be greatly appreciated. If you can stick around and help put the tables away, that would be very helpful. So thank you guys. Have a good night.